Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and a new legal effort to stop the Government of Efficiency Office from shuttering agencies and funding.
The lawsuit's been filed in federal court in Maryland by more than 24 staffers and contractors at USAID who claim their lives have been upended by Elon Musk and his Doge team. The suit seeks the reversal of Musk's and Doge's actions and a formal determination by the courts that they're operating in violation of the Constitution. The filing alleges a violation of the Appointments Clause, noting that no one at Doge is serving in a role created by Congress, nor have any of them been confirmed by the Senate.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. President Trump signed an executive order today on reciprocal tariffs with its trading partners, saying the U.S. will impose the same amount of duties that other countries add to goods. The president hosting India's leader today at the White House. Heavy rain in Southern California and up and down the coast could lead to flooding on those burn-scarred areas in L.A. County, and another round of snow and ice on the way in the Northeast and Midwest. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison say their new study found softshell helmet covers do not reduce concussions for high school football players. The report was published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine and evaluated over 2,600 Wisconsin football players. Their data found 64 reported concussions during the 2023 season, 33 of which were sustained by players wearing the softshell helmets and 31 by players not wearing the helmets. Previous studies suggested the softer padding could reduce impact to the head. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz has denied a request to recuse herself from the case challenging the constitutionality of Act 10. Justice Protasiewicz had previously expressed her belief that Act 10 was unconstitutional when campaigning for the seat, but says she can act impartially in the case. Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn did recuse himself from the case after helping former Governor Scott Walker write the law. The Dane County ruling found that Act 10 violated equal protection guarantees for public employees. The Sawyer County Public Safety Committee has voted to approve a nearly $3 million upgrade to its public safety radio system. At their meeting last week, the committee recommended that the county board authorize about $2.8 million for upgrades to the system that handles the region's emergency services. The upgrades would include new tower locations and equipment to improve radio coverage across the county. The full Sawyer County board is expected to consider the proposal at their meeting next Thursday. Aspirus St. Luke's abruptly announced the closure of a downtown Duluth clinic this week. According to organization officials, the Aspirus clinic on East Superior Street will be closed and patients will start being seen at other locations on March 17th. They also say the organization is planning to retain all of the staff members at the clinic and transition them to other locations in the area. Organization officials say the move will improve their efficiency and collaboration, but did not provide an explanation as to how they decided to close the clinic. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite missing Giannis and Damian Lillard, the Bucks beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota, 103-101. Doc Rivers pleased with the new players who stepped in, like Kyle Kuzma and Gary Trent, and the performance by Kevin Porter Jr.
His guts, he's calm. Kuz, I thought, had some great plays downhill. Gary Trent, a lot of guys just played well. We moved the ball, you know, the entire game.
I guess what do you like about your effort defense?
Just gutty. Gutty. We did our best of doing it without fouling. Overall, we did that, and that was really good.
Kyle Kuzma, on what it's like playing for the Bucks instead of the last place Washington Wizards.
You know, I'm not going to call Washington a bad team because it's not a bad team. They're just in a rebuild, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do there for their future. Matters.
Baseball. The Brewers signing lefty Tyler Alexander to a one-year, $1 million deal. He had been with the Tampa Bay Rays. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon, a high in the low 20s. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches by the time we look into Saturday morning. Winter weather advisories in effect. Currently, it's 6.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the woman who wants to head the Department of Education says private and charter schools have every right to refuse kids who don't meet their standards. What does that mean for children in Wisconsin?
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. You can be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board today, girl.
Doing some extra duty today.
Oh, working hard. We do appreciate it. We got some sound that she cut up while she was,
I can multitask.
So good. So good. Thank you, Jess. And folks, you can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Lots to get to today. Mm-hmm. Lots going on in the state of Wisconsin. A lot going on the national circuit as well. And the gift for today.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. is this the universe's gift for us? I mean, it's been a little odd these last few weeks with all the goings on in the new administration and all the stuff. And it's just good to see an old familiar face come back.
Is it familiar? It looked a little different.
It did. It looked like the mustache has abandoned him.
It's finally fallen off.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's so bad, mm-hmm. His mustache left.
It ran away.
I'm talking about Eric Humpty. Yes, Eric Humpty is back in the news. Why, you say? That's a great question. Why? What? What could he possibly have to say? Oh, yeah. He's, according to the Journal Sentinel, cites debunked claims and questioning his 2024 election loss to Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Tammy Baldwin doing a fine job today asking some very pertinent questions to Linda McMahon, former, Small Business Association under the last Trump administration?
The first go-round.
And now she's going to be education?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We have some sound of Tammy Baldwin asking some pretty tough questions of Linda McMahon. But I digress. Eric Humpty.
Mm-hmm.
We have some sound. Let's just dive into the sound. This is our precious gift. A precious gift from Jess to me, from me to you. You know, a lot of people are saying, every time you start out with some stuff like that, a lot of people are saying. I read it on the internet. Twitter said, I saw this Facebook post. Uh-huh. I think you said an Instagram meme.
I've heard.
I mean, some people say. Let's hear what a lot of people are saying according to the mustache-less Eric Humpty.
I've had an overwhelming response by people that I meet on the street or at events or emails that I'm sent or texts or handwritten letters. A lot of people are very upset what happened that night as it pertains to my race.
And yeah, you lost.
That I may have been robbed.
Oh,
look,
robbed.
At 1 a.m., most people were congratulating me, and it looked like I had won with 93-94% of the vote in. And then, as we all know, at 4:30 a.m., 120,000 absentee ballots were dropped in Milwaukee.
Dropped.
And
counted, tabulated.
Got an amazing 85%.
Yeah.
Pretty improbable.
Not if you look at the history of Milwaukee's voting.
I know.
You wanted to represent this state, Humpty. It would do you some good to know a little bit about it.
It's just not the same without the mustache. to start out, all the different ways he's been communicating with people. I mean, wow, man.
By email, by phone, by in person, handwritten letters?
Morse code, smoke
telegraph.
Signals.
Telegraph?
Telegram? Singing telegram? I gotta dance. You're my dad, and I love you.
You promised.
I'm singing a song.
You promised no more of this.
I didn't promise. Oh, he did. He promised.
No, you promised no more of the singing on the radio.
Oh, that's right. Well, I was does a little elf for you. Eric Hovde, number one. Many, many, many ways he communicates. And, he just runs into people on the street, and they tell him. Do they recognize you without the mustache? So come on, I don't believe it. He did say, though, I believe Hovde said, well, he wasn't going to go through this whole recount thing because it costs money and spent enough money and didn't want to divide people. But now he's coming out, what, in February?
Yeah.
And saying the same election denier trash. But a lot of people are saying.
A lot of people, Dom.
You lost an election. It was a close election. But you lost. And a lot of people are going to be upset. And probably the folks that are coming up to you like you. You know what I mean? Like, they voted for you. They are expressing.
They're part of your echo chamber.
They're your voters. How many of the people who didn't vote for you came up to you and said, man, I think you got robbed? Nobody, man. Zero. And I stand by that. It's just a guess, but I stand by it. Because a lot of people are saying, those that voted for Tammy Baldwin really don't like Eric Hovde. That's what I heard. It's all written on the stall in the bathroom. Let's hear a little bit more from Eric Hovde. Cut number two, please, Jess.
I didn't really want to dig too hard into it and get into all the details because I was trying to process it. I was reviewing with attorneys. And then the holidays were coming upon me. And if I started speaking out, the reality of it is the press would have just called me an election denier, even though you would think they would be the first ones to wanted to dig in and really look at the election and whether it was waged fairly.
Whether it was waged fairly. Listen, you mentioned the Milwaukee drops again. That is, as Jess mentioned, the process here. It could have been changed by the Republicans in the state house. They chose not to. We couldn't. They can't start counting those absentee ballots early, right? So, yeah, it happens. It happens all the time. It happens in every election. It will continue to happen in the future unless there's some legislative change to my understanding. Now, if you were aware of elections in the state of Wisconsin and actually, participated a little more than perhaps you have out in California, maybe you would know that. This is a thing. People know this if you're from Wisconsin, if you pay attention in Wisconsin. It's not a 4 a.m. dump. It's by the time they got everything calculated and tabulated and cross-checked and verified, then they put it in.
Right. It's not like they're entering every vote as it comes in. That's not how it works.
They won't let. And it could. We could change it. Perhaps, Hovde, you should inquire to your GOP comrades here in the state of Wisconsin and have them change it if that upsets you so. But they don't want. I think they don't want to change it because then you lose this narrative. You lose this conversation. Oh, it's a 4 a.m. dump.
It's the Milwaukee dump.
Milwaukee, all those Milwaukees. Oh, let's think about it. Well, Milwaukee primarily votes, historically votes for Dems.
Yeah, and then, pretty overwhelmingly.
And then the absentee early, whatever, the absentee ballots, well, those are also primarily because what has the history been, at least in the last 10 or 20 years? Donald Trump, we can't have those early voters. You can't have absentee voters. You got to go and do it day of. So a lot of those folks are also going to be Dems. So you have like a double statistic on people in Milwaukee who are going to be Dems, and those that generally vote absentee are going to be Dems, at least in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're going to have a huge percentage of that. That's not shocking, Eric Hovde. That's not a ballot dump. That's just counting the votes, and you lost. Just like that mustache, you lost. Let's hear... Let's hear about Baldwin's evil. Evil? Did he say evil? I haven't heard it yet.
No, I gave you just a little synopsis.
Right. A little editorializing from Jess on this one. Let's hear number three from Eric Hovde, please.
Well, a lot has come out since then. We've learned a lot, like how Senator Baldwin's campaign, who they paid to put this America First candidate, this fraud candidate, to
fraud.
Siphon votes away from me. How her campaign received money from ACT Blue and these high frequency
fundraising
donors
site,
may
friend.
Not be legitimate. Or things that actually unfolded that day with absentee ballots and same-day voting. Because Wisconsin's one of only six states in the country that allows same-day
voter registration. And that's wrong somehow?
And, you know, precincts, which I mentioned before, that voted 150, 200, one, I think, even 250% of registered voters in Milwaukee.
No, wrong. I mean, so he's blaming this America First fraud candidate. I don't have the quote in front of me, but I think that guy was basically saying, dude, move along. You know what I mean? Get over it. So, if some guy came in and siphoned some votes away, I mean, yeah, that happens. It's not uncommon. I believe it was Kanye West tried to get in on the ballot here last time around in 2020, and his attorneys came in just a little bit late. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the filing done on time. So, but what was that? Of course, that was an attempt by the Republicans and by Trump and those folks to siphon black votes out of Milwaukee against that may have gone otherwise to Joe Biden. So that's that kind of thing. And whatever. I'm not a fan of it. But if that's how the game is played, it's a game. That's what it is. At the end of the day, you lost. It's not the ballot dumps. It wasn't the other candidate who pulled off 20-some thousand votes of the America First. It wasn't 250% of people voting in a district. It wasn't same-day registration. That's not any of those things. What really happened is that you ran a crappy campaign. You didn't even mention the state of Wisconsin in your inaugural advertisement saying you were going to run for the Senate. Didn't even mention the state of Wisconsin, dude. Not once. There are lots of reasons that I would throw out there as to why Eric Hovde lost, but I think we have one more from the mustache man. Let's hear the new plan.
So I am going to start doing some videos talking about this because we've got to have elections that are fair and ethical in this state. The last thing we want is erode people's confidence in our election process. Fair and ethical elections are central to a democracy.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And what is unethical about same-day registration? What is unethical about Milwaukee City and Milwaukee County being able to count their ballots? What's unethical about that?
It doesn't benefit him.
Well, only if it votes for him, then it's good. Otherwise, it's unethical.
I'm glad that you're understanding
and
it
what
now.
Is it about? What is it about your losing and Republicans losing some of these elections? And again, Trump won. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not challenging that election. It's that just work? His. It's just,
how could it possibly
How could it possibly
be?
Have come out this way?
There are split ticket elections. This is one of them. Another example. And I think that just goes to show how terrible of a candidate you were, man. I mean, Trump won Wisconsin again, and he still got beat by Tammy Baldwin. I like Tammy a lot. We'll hear from Tammy a little bit later today. I think she does a fine job. I'm a supporter. I voted for Tammy over you. But that doesn't mean that the system is rigged. And what really erodes people's confidence in our voting system and our elections in the state of Wisconsin and nationally are people like you, Eric Hovde, who are sore losers, can't point to any specific fact, proven fraud, anything other than same-day registration and those 4 a.m. ballot dumps from Milwaukee. Again, the GOP could change it if they chose not to. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Come back and join us, 855-752-4842. More coming up from the state of Wisconsin. Will Justice Protasiewicz recuse from Act 10? I don't think so. Forever.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVICA. Just PS working hard on the board, so you folks texting in. Can't get to them all. Cam, damn, man. He's a busy, busy guy.
Send us a summary, man.
Right. Cliff notes. Eric Hovde, the former Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate, out on the X, raising hell against the absentee ballots and all that. The Journal Sentinel had a write-up about this. I want to just kind of reiterate some of the facts as they have described them here, because I think it is important. Hovde lost his race to Baldwin by more than 29,000 votes, a little less than 1%. He did not concede the race until nearly 2 weeks later, and he decided against going through with a contentious recount. Well, why?
I remember that. Yeah.
I mean, why? And now we are. Today's February 12th. This was yesterday. He came out on the X, and now he's raising these same concerns. Talked to a lot of people.
Yeah. Let's remember that he was within the margin to request a recount.
Yeah, but he had to pay for it.
But he would have had to pay for it, which let's also remember he had the means to do.
He has the means
to order a recount. Absolutely.
What? Why?
So why not?
Well, because then you'd put it to bed and you couldn't come out now. The same reason why the Republicans won't allow for early counting of those absentee ballots. We played some of the sounds, so skip over the reporting. The Milwaukee Election Commission said at the time of the votes that it unequivocally refutes Eric Hovde's baseless claims regarding the integrity of our election process. As the Journal Sentinel points out, under Wisconsin law, and those are made by legislators, Mr. Eric Hovde, legislators, and they can make the laws, and if they get enough people to back them up, then it'll pass the legislature, and it'll go on to the governor, and they could sign a law. You ever watch the cartoon for your kids, how a bill becomes a law? Hovde, that's kind of how it works.
Need
here.
A little Schoolhouse Rock.
Right.
Yeah.
I was always mad when Schoolhouse Rock came. I was like, come on, I'll give some Bugs Bunny. But
interrupting your cartoons.
Totally. That's how it works, man. And the GOP had an option to do that. They could have changed that, and they chose not to. So under Wisconsin law, under the current law that the GOP has, and they could change, I'm sure, Governor Evers would sign. Under the current law, absentee ballots cannot be processed before 7 a.m. on election day. Mr. Hovde, let me repeat that because maybe it's hard to understand without the mustache. Under Wisconsin law, absentee ballots cannot be processed before 7 a.m. election day. As the Journal Sentinel points out, the Republican-controlled state Senate last year did not take up legislation that would have made it possible for clerks to start processing absentee ballots the day before the election and therefore finish counting all the votes earlier on election day. And I think that came of the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate here in the state of Wisconsin, did not take that up. I think it passed out of the assembly. I could be wrong, but that's my understanding. That's why. And they didn't take it up. And why? Why? So what? So we can't have this argument next time around. Eric Hovde could have done a recount out of his pocket, but he wanted to hold this in his pocket so he could challenge the election integrity because you lost. Now, Hovde has not disputed Trump's victory, as mentioned. And Hovde said that the Milwaukee absentee ballots called them that pushed Baldwin to victory, called them pretty improbable. Pretty improbable. But he earlier said he didn't want to dig too hard into it and get all the details because I was trying to process it. I was reviewing with attorneys.
And then it was the holidays, and I didn't want to ruin Christmas.
I mean, right. I totally would have done that, but, you know, I had to go to California for the holidays because it's warmer over there. Although I'm from Wisconsin, I really like California. As mentioned, Hovde was complaining about the America First candidate, Thomas Leager, L-E-A-G-E-R, a far-right gun rights advocate who garnered more than 28,000 votes as another factor in his loss. Wait, hang on now. Earlier this article, it says he lost by 29,000 votes. So even if every single one of those 28,000 votes that went to the America First candidate went to you, Hovde, you still would have lost.
That's the math I have, too.
Isn't it? 28,000 is less than 29,000.
Last I checked. I mean, it may have changed.
Oh, we need Schoolhouse.
Everything's changing.
We need Schoolhouse
so
Rock again. We got to do it slowly for Hovde here. Democrat Party Wisconsin spokesman Joe Oslin responded to a video and a statement saying Eric Hovde lost fair and square. It's time for him to move on. It's time for you to move on.
The mustache has. You should go with it.
Right. Several Republicans after the election floated Hovde as a potential Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate in 2026, but Hovde's initial refusal to concede the race as well as his subsequent claims of fraud have damaged his relationship with the state party.
My oh my.
Do you think that got any better yesterday? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Joe from Madison, you're up. Happy days, Joe. Welcome. What do you got for us?
The holidays? What, 7 weeks from when he lost to when the holidays are? This is a rich, wealthy man. What was he up gift wrapping? And was just so arduous that he couldn't get it done? You know, he had to go, cut a tree in California, and that was difficult?
He had so much time to spend with family.
Oh, that was the most pathetic. I do think the other one is most pathetic is, you know, all those votes appeared in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Work an election. And notice the fact that people in Milwaukee who are working probably are not thrilled about having to stay up till 4 a.m. They probably would prefer to get it done, you know, that the votes are counted, the absentees are counted during the day. But you can't. If you're working the polls, you have to tend to the people who are right there. And if they're absentee ballots, they have to wait until the polls are closed because you have to deal with the people who are right in front of you. Mm-hmm. As somebody who's worked the polls, I can tell you that's the deal. Go work the polls sometime, you know, try to figure that out. I would say that one reason why Mr. Hovde had a bad time, and I really was appalled at this, was remember the farm bill? He was asked about the farm bill.
Yes.
And what he would support. He said, I'm not even going to look it up unless I get elected. Well, you know, I thought, God, what were the things within the farm bill? And I'm looking here, I just Googled it real quick, and there was an item at first that indicated the key provisions. And then the second item on Google is the 2024 farm bill compared with current law. So you could have the comparison within, 30 seconds. You could look this up.
If he cared and was prepared and actually wanted to govern for the state of Wisconsin. Thank you for the call, Joe. I've got a break coming up here. Once again, when Eric Hovde rolled out his campaign video to announce his candidacy, he didn't even say the word Wisconsin. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. More of your calls coming up.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for experienced hunters to mentor new ones. According to a press release, volunteer opportunities include mentoring a novice hunter, teaching in a classroom through hunter education programs, or helping with outdoor skills workshops and special youth hunts. Officials are hoping volunteers can help new hunters enjoy the sport in a safe and ethical way and pass down some useful outdoor skills. Anyone interested in volunteering can find more information on the program on the DNR's website. A proposal to expand Medicaid coverage for postpartum mothers is once again being considered in the Wisconsin State Senate. The bill would give low-income mothers a full year of postpartum Medicaid coverage as opposed to the 60 days currently allowed. State senators heard testimony on the issues for medical providers on Wednesday. Only one other state lacks the expanded coverage, which has wide bipartisan support in Madison. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss opposes the bill, however, so it has never been put up for a vote in the Assembly. A competency hearing has been scheduled for the Rice Lake woman accused of assaulting a police officer while resisting arrest over an allegedly stolen turkey. According to court documents, 32-year-old Melanie Munt will be evaluated in March to determine if she is competent to stand trial. She's facing a maximum penalty of up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted on one felony charge and three misdemeanor charges. The alleged assault occurred on January 24th at an apartment complex in Rice Lake. The Arizona man who led Barron County authorities on a 30-mile high-speed chase in September has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, 28-year-old Raul Olia Velasquez entered guilty pleas to first-degree recklessly endangering safety and causing injury while operating under the influence. On Tuesday, he was sentenced to 7 years in prison and 4 years extended supervision. The chase began in Rice Lake when police responded to reports of two men acting belligerently and ended when Velasquez crashed into a ditch. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Although it's been nominated for Best Picture and several other awards, there was a point when Timothée Chalamet thought A Complete Unknown would never get made. The Bob Dylan biopic was announced by director James Mangold in 2020, but was shelved due to COVID. It eventually found its way to the big screen 5 years later. Chalamet said that gave him time to learn how to play the guitar and to sing. That might just be what puts him over the top in the race for Best Actor as well. Stand by. In an age where it can take years just for a TV show to get renewed, that is not the case with the show Reacher. The popular streamer returns for Season 3 February 20th, barely 1 year from the debut of Season 2. Reacher fans appreciate the aggressive shooting schedule, I'm sure. 8 new episodes will drop one at a time, sigh, on Amazon Prime. I saw the trailer for the new season the other night, and somehow they found a man bigger than Alan Ritchson to be his nemesis. Hope it's better than Season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, cold, a low of 0 to 5 below. For tomorrow, a cloudy sky with snow showers developing in the afternoon, a high in the low 20s. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches by the time we look into Saturday morning. Winter weather advisories in effect. Right now it's 7.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little what's worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I
suits, Gucci gloves, Chelsea boots. All my demons are cocaine fueled electrical. Sugar tooth, caramel, silky smooth. Diving into Class Azul swimming pools.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Diving into Class Azul swimming pools. Love you some tequila. Thank you, Jess, for playing me a little Struts.
You're
love, appreciate it. 855-752-4842. That Class Azul is really good. Have you ever had it?
No.
Oh man, it's like a little vanilla taste to it. It's
tequila?
I do really like tequila.
It's
really good. I'm gonna have to get some of that tonight.
Mm.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Kind of wrapping up the conversation, Eric Hovde, the former Wisconsin senatorial candidate, lost to Tammy Baldwin. We'll hear some sound from her later on, lamenting his loss. You know, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. But why? He could have, as mentioned, he could have had a recount. State Senate could have changed the rules of the laws on how absentee ballots and when they're counted, but they declined to do so. So why keep this alive? Why keep the conspiracy alive? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a text line to Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I think Eric could use a lobotomy. Put him in a room with Chucky Franklin. You know, I don't know about that, Tyler, but I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. How did Trump win? Larry from Deerfield asks. I know Trump Baldwin voters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drew from Watertown says, about this, keeping this story alive. You know, a lot of people told me.
A lot of people in a lot of different ways.
Some people are saying, and when they write to me and they talk to me and they email
letters,
me.
Letters, Dom.
And they draw little crayon, you know, colors for me and markers.
Someone wrote me a song about it.
And a chalkboard and all the different ways they communicated with me that I got robbed. You got robbed, man. And he doesn't have his mustache anymore, folks. That's the other thing. I know that's actually the news. It is strange.
You know, as much as I didn't like the mustache, I have to say, seeing him without it, his face looks really flat.
Yeah, maybe, it, you know, I don't know. I'm not a mustache guy. I agree. No, it's odd looking. I'm just saying. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ben from Richland Center points out, and yeah, thank you, Ben. I agree with you. Why keep the conspiracy alive, question mark? Well, in his case, why not?
Right. Sure. I mean, why not further erode trust in elections? Yeah. I mean, I'm only saying that we need to have trust in elections.
Cam points out, I get it now. The mustache was DEI and was let go. It's the worst, says Scott from Shorewood. Oh, yeah. 855-752-4842. We will move on. Let's take one more call on this topic. Our pal CJ. Hey, dude, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. You know how much outside money was brought in for both Hovde and Baldwin?
Tens of millions of dollars, yes. Lots of money.
Yep. This election was bought because Baldwin brought in $20 million. And, you know, from all the Democrats, all the callers, all your hosts, I hear you complain about money in politics, but the Democrats are better at it. They are better at spending people's money across state lines.
Well, I guess there's a couple of ways to look at it. I looked at... Yeah, hang on. Let me just. My understanding: Baldwin raised about $52 million, and Hovde raised about 30. Call it, but that doesn't, of course, as you mentioned, include that the outside money. And Baldwin won that. Listen, man, you're not gonna argue with me about money in politics. But if you're concerned, number one, is any dime that Hovde spent, being from California, could be considered outside money. But what about the $250 million Elon spent on the Trump campaign, dude?
Well, Bill Anderson was funded.
Hey, no, I want you to answer me about Elon, dude. That's unprecedented. What about that situation, please?
What about Elon? I think it's absolutely spectacular what he's doing.
So you're happy that he spent that, put that money into Trump's campaign. You think that's okay and acceptable. But you're concerned about the money Tammy Baldwin raised. How explain that to me, dude. That makes zero sense.
No, I'm actually agreeing with you guys about money and politics.
Excellent. Let's talk about that. I appreciate that. Let's talk about that for a moment. How, if we both agree, if I don't want to speak for you, so I'm gonna make a statement. I want you to tell me if you agree with me or not. We need to reform campaign finance in this country, and I think we need to repeal or amend the Constitution to repeal Citizens United. Do you agree that corporations are not people and money is not speech?
No, I don't. I think your owner is a corporation. He files his taxes, and he's a business owner. He's an LLC, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. So, no. What has that got to do with Citizens United, that money is speech? That money is speech and corporations are people. Do you agree with that premise? You said you do not agree with that, right?
I agree with what they're doing right now.
I don't know.
Your business.
No, see, that you're not. Thanks for trying, CJ.
CJ.
I think you're there, man. I think there's a lot of Republicans and probably a lot of MAGAs. And I think as we go along and things maybe don't turn out the way that you want them to, that maybe, you know, you were hoodwinked a little bit with this guy. We'll see what happens. We'll see. You know, he's only a couple weeks in, but inflation hasn't gone down. We're still got a war going on in Ukraine. And as far as I understand from the statistics that I've seen, I guess it's been a few days now, he's behind the deportation rates of both Barack Obama and Joe Biden. So those are like the big things I recall you guys talking about. Now, he said he's going to do it on day one. Granted, he's not going to do it on day one. I'll give the month of January, whatever statistics come out of the month of January, I'll put that on the last administration. But you own February, man. Because you know what? Right now, and you like what they're doing, they're firing people, right?
Well, a lot.
That's impacting. And people are taking buyouts. In my understanding, the judge allowed the buyout to go through. And I hope, you know, I hope Congress, or I don't know how they're going to allocate the funds and guarantee that that's going to happen. But whatever. Okay. They'll let those things go through. But either way, there's lots of people that are leaving the workforce or changing jobs, whatever the case may be. That's going to have a direct a notable impact on the unemployment rate, right? I mean, I would think. So I think starting the month of February, that's the Trump administration, man. Trump owns that. They didn't have to fire those people, right? They could do different things. They chose not to. They chose to go the course that they are going. Donald Trump owns February. So whatever the statistics on inflation, unemployment, GDP, the impacts on the market from the tariffs and the uncertainty, starting February 1, as far as I'm concerned, that is all on this administration.
For sure. And I've even seen today Trump admitting, yeah, prices are probably going to go up because of tariffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, duh.
It's going to be great later, though. Yeah. I mean, it's like
just in 2 weeks, Tom. In 2 weeks.
In two more weeks. Given the guy's a known fraudster, yes, a known convicted fraudster.
Correct. Convicted felon fraudster, yep.
I mean, come on, man. The guy was, right? He couldn't even own charities anymore. that's on him. And you folks voted for him, and we'll have to, you know, we got to deal with those circumstances. But I'm trying to, you know, just give an honest assessment of where the blame / credit will lie. And I think, you know, February 1 is reasonable, especially given the firings and the layoffs and whatever the case may be. So that's where we start. Back to CJ's point, agreeing with us, right? Hardcore MAGA and liberal Dom, I guess they call me now. Yeah, man, money in politics is a bad thing. And I don't like Elon Musk giving Donald Trump $200 and some million. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So, and as a government by the people and for the people, we have the ability to change that if we agree, CJ. Well, that means we're going to have to get, you know, legislators, congressmen, congresswomen, senators, and whatnot to elected to office that will agree with us on it and change it. And I don't know that there's a whole lot of Republicans and even a big chunk of Dems that want to change that. And I think that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I think perhaps as we continue on and we see the repercussions of, you know, billionaire government for billionaires. And I'm not clear that, and I just take a cursory look at history. You know, you look at all the, you know, busting the unions and the robber barons and all this, how things have ebbed and flowed over the course of time. You know, the rich and powerful have always had an upper hand, period. I'm straight up. Now, how much of that, you know, can be remedied or at least balanced off by, you know, the many over the money, as we like to say, it depends on the many who are engaged and informed and agree, CJ. You and I agree on this topic, man. We should push our legislatures. You, man, call your Republican folks up. Get a hold of Elon Musk, man. Hey, Elon, what do you think about not spending that kind of money on elections? You think he'd go for that? I mean, I don't know, man. Do you think the Republicans are going to go for that? I don't know. But if you think that way, CJ, I would encourage you. Man, I will join arms with you if you want to go walk down the street, go up to the Capitol and demand that Republicans and Democrats unite in getting the money out of politics, CJ, and we'll go have drinks afterwards and we'll have a great time. You know, we've done that before. So let's agree on what we can agree on, man. If that's what you're down with, I'm down with it. We can go forward with that. Let's put that on our platform. Let's get Mike Johnson to do it, right? Hakeem Jeffries. Is he down? Right? Who's up in the Senate, man? Let's make this happen. I'm just concerned that because of the way it is, and everyone loves money, everybody needs money. That's why they call it money. 855-752-4842. Let's get one more caller in here. Ben from Verona, you're next. Welcome, Ben. What do you got for us? Hello, Ben.
Hey, say, I was just thinking, I read today on your subject of money and politics, and then when certain individuals get a chance to pay back in full times to the donors, for example, the Tesla Corporation getting $400 million bid for federal vehicles?
Yeah, I haven't dug into that, Ben. I saw some headlines that it happened, then I see some headlines that it didn't, and I'm just going to let that I'm just going to let that one kind of settle out there for a little bit before I dive into it. But certainly having that access, fair, having something like that, that would be very concerning, no doubt about it.
Yes, yes, yes. So they get their money back in full times too.
Yeah. Well, think about this one, Ben. When the last time they pushed through this, as they're negotiating right now, this budget and this extension of the Trump tax cuts from last time, when they changed how the pass-through corporations were taxed, Ron Johnson specifically pushed that one, and he came on the show and told us he was very proud of that. Hey, you know, told Trump, I want to change this for the S-Corps and the LLCs and change how it's taxed. And he did that. He did that. And then his major donors, the Ulines, got a tax break of like $200 some million. It was an outrageous amount. And he spent, like, I think they gave him like $20 million. Again, I'm going off the top of my head. You can Google it. But essentially, I remember the numbers being about a 10% finder's fee. Senator Johnson saved his donors like $200 million, and they gave him $20 back for his campaign. Straight up, man. It's almost a perfect 10% finder's fee / commission. What do you think about that, Ben?
It's insanity,
though. It's insanity. Oh, man. And thanks for calling, man. I appreciate you got a heartbreak coming up here. I do. I would encourage, especially as we see how this goes down, because, and we'll get into it in the next hour. We mentioned it briefly yesterday. A lot of these red states are all of a sudden pushing back against DOGE and these cuts because they're going to impact Alabama, for example, Kentucky. There's a few others that are like, well, let's take this one out, take that one out, take that one out. Yeah, no doubt. Folks are going to start to be really, really be impacted by this. It's going to impact red states and blue states. And maybe perhaps in our mutual misery, we can finally agree that, oh, my God, regardless of what you think about the politics, money has got to get out of the politics. We, the people, need to control that, siphon that off, bring it in. If it's got to be publicly financed, I don't give a damn. We're spending way too much money on this, and there's way too much influence from the billionaires. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
Hey! You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I was foolish, I was angry, I was funny, I was charming, I was lucky, tell me how I charm.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Going to move along to some other topics here, but I want to get a couple of the texters. You're so prolific out there. We do appreciate it. But you can also call, talk to me on the lines, just like CJ, 855-752-4842. Uncle Tony pipes in from WMDX. Nice to finally have Republicans like CJ on board with campaign finance reform and other things Dems have been calling for over a decade. Now he should call his state and federal representatives to change it like we do.
Here.
I mean, seriously, we can agree on that, right?
Right.
Oh, man. It's something we can, what is the least common factor? Not denominator. Least common factor. Least common. I think there's a difference between least common factor and least common denominator. But I digress. It's at least one of the minimal things we can agree on. Let's call it.
Yes. We can even agree on what to call that.
855-752-4842. There's some other land. Come on. I'm not going to read the out loud insult to CJ.
Nah.
But it stands for circle something, according to Len. We're not going to say that. Thank you for playing. Listen, when we finally agree, we should stop insulting the guy, at least for a minute.
for a minute.
For a minute. When we get a break. And perhaps they'll, you know, stop calling us the lib this or the that that. 855-752-4842. Eric Covey lost to Tammy Baldwin.
Indeed.
Tammy Baldwin is our senator.
Thank goodness.
And Tammy Baldwin, doing her job as a senator today, said she was concerned about the education secretary nominee Linda McMahon's commitment to handling sexual assault claims on school campuses, referencing a lawsuit against the former World Wrestling Entertainment executive, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, we have some sound of this question.
Yeah, so this is a question and answer from Ms. Mang's, her confirmation hearing. Let's take a listen.
Let's hear Baldwin.
Mrs. McMahon, you have been named in a lawsuit.
which alleges that you and your husband allowed for systemic and pervasive abuse of underage children to persist in your business for years. It is an ongoing lawsuit, and it alleges that you rehired a known sexual predator, and you felt it was sufficient to simply direct him to steer clear of children. If confirmed, you will be responsible with overseeing the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, charged with ensuring equal access to education through vigorous enforcement of civil rights laws. I am so concerned about whether sexual assault survivors on campus can trust you to support them.
Thank you, Senator. They certainly can trust me to support them. I have a granddaughter that is now in college. I have two grandsons who are in college. And I have a deep commitment of understanding of how I would feel if any of them were involved in sexual harassment or accused of sexual harassment. You have my absolute commitment that I will uphold and protect those investigations to make sure that those students are treated fairly on both sides.
I mean, we're not talking about sexual harassment, number one. This isn't, you know, the boss slapping the secretary on the ass. We're talking about sexual abuse. As the Journal Sentinel points out, an October lawsuit against McMahon and her husband Vince that alleges WWE leaders failed to act on allegations of an employee of the organization sexually abused children who worked as quote-unquote ring boys during the wrestling matches. Sexual abuse of children is not sexual harassment. Are you freaking kidding me? The suit was filed on behalf of several ring boys who said they were abused by a man who was a ringside announcer for the WWE in the 80s, and that person died in 2012. It alleges the McMahons fired the man, but then later rehired him. Sexual harassment. I mean, it's an insult to the question. It's an insult to the situation. It's not an answer. Or this person who's going to be the head of the Department of Education doesn't understand the difference between sexual harassment and sexual abuse.
Not to mention, she's also both sidesing this. Very fine people. Both sides. Mm. I have a personal connection to this. I have grandchildren. Okay?
Great. You procreated and they had kids. 855-752-4842. Thank you, Senator Baldwin, for asking the question. Linda McMahon, damn. Mark from the SAC, you'll have the last word this hour. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm afraid that the people we're up against, as I said before, these people are opposed to the doctrines of natural liberty, human equality, and the social contract, that we're all in the society together. We're not living under Ayn Rand's America, but John Galton, whatever Rourke's first name was. Those two guys were a couple of freaks. I think Rourke was actually a murderer. I mean, Ayn Rand's hero was William Hickman, who you know, kidnapped a girl and chopped her up. I mean, and his theory was, what's good for me is right. Well, what's good for us is what's good for my fellow man. I mean, and that's how, or woman, as the case may be. But it's just ridiculous that we're going to run ruckshod over everybody, not send out food that's sitting in warehouses now. It's going to rot, and Trump, just to be mean, Trump is going to keep in the warehouses, not feed, give it to the poor, no matter where they are.
Yeah, it seems. Thank you for the call, Mark. You know, the whole social contract thing. Again, these are things I think are lost over time in the recognition that, yeah, we are at the end of the day. And I'm a big individual, as you folks know, man. Individual rights, all that kind of individual sovereignty. But we didn't just all fall off the coconut tree. You know what I'm saying? We as much as we want to not be, perhaps. And some of my libertarian friends might be out there saying that we are connected. We are. Whether you want to be or not, we just are. We're all flying through the space in this rock together, like it or not. I don't know. Musk can go to Mars if he wants. Hey, folks, come back with us. 855-752-4842. Lots going on the national scene. We're going to get to that next. Stick around.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, Todd Alba returns to the big chair before Pat returns from vacation. And let's get this weekend started together. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. And the U.S. will impose reciprocal tariffs on its trade partners. President Trump says each country will be looked at, and those with the highest duties on U.S. goods will have tariffs imposed first. The president hosting India's prime minister this afternoon at the White House, both talking trade.
They're going to be purchasing a lot of our oil and gas. We have more oil and gas than any other country in the world by far, and they need it, and we have it.
Earlier, the president participated in the swearing-in ceremony of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after the Senate confirmed his nomination to lead Health and Human Services. A strong storm targeting the West Coast. Authorities near Portland, Oregon say whiteout conditions led to a 100-vehicle pileup today. In Southern California, flooding is the threat for burn-scarred areas devastated by wildfires last month. A kayaker in Chile has survived after a whale briefly swallowed him, he says, in the Strait of Magellan. This is ABC News.
I'm James